Thank you, Lord. Why don't you turn in your Bibles over to Mark 1. We've been talking about that He is willing the last several weeks. We're going to talk about that some more. I feel like we should go on yet. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Mark 1, verse 40. Well, thank you, Lord. Mark 1, verse 40. This is about the leper. We've read this the last couple weeks. Verse 40 says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction." So, of course, we'll go back, and we're focusing on verse 41. But I just wanted to comment on this. This is one of those places, verse 44. Jesus tells him not to tell anybody. And that might seem kind of odd. Why did he do that? Well, we ought to do with our healing what Jesus tells us to do, what the Lord tells you. We shouldn't assume, surely we ought to go just tell everybody. Everybody has to know. No, we ought to do whatever God tells us to do with it. Whatever He tells us to do, whatever He says to do, do it. Because people, sometimes we think that, well, if I could prove to them the word, if I could prove to them and show them, they'd believe. Nope, they can believe, they can disbelieve and deny. Oh, well, that was just a coincidence. Oh, well, the symptoms just happened to leave. Oh, well, they can disbelieve with the miracle right under their noses. People don't have to believe. But why did he say that? Well, one reason, you can look in verse 44. So what did he say? He told him, in 44, it says, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Well, look at it in verse 45. However, he didn't listen to Jesus. He went out and began to proclaim it freely. You would think he would want people to know. Well, Jesus in this instance told him not to. So he had a reason. Well, what in verse 45 he said, "However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city." It hindered Jesus' movement. In this instance, it hindered Jesus. It hindered him from moving about, so he had to go outside in the deserted places and they came to him from every direction. So in one, we can see right here, this hindered his movement from doing, might have been doing what he needed to do or what ideally he should have done. But because somebody didn't do, Jesus had a reason. He doesn't just idly speak words. Now, sometimes, we think, well, gosh, what did he say that for? Well, just let the word be a commentary on the word and just stay on God's side. Jesus is not weird. Jesus had a reason for saying everything he said. Jesus never said, and God never says, well, I'm just saying, like we do sometimes. No, he says things for a reason. He doesn't just speak to hear himself speak like some people do. No, he says things for a reason. Everything that comes from his lips, it will not return void. So he doesn't just speak idle words. And you know what? We should be the same way. We should not let idle words just come from our mouth. Now, I'm not saying you get legalistic about it. You can get whacked out about that. But we ought not to just say stuff just to say it. Or just to idly talk and, some jokes and things that people tell. We don't need to say them. They don't honor God. And we ought to watch our mouth, because when we get a hold and we start to realize that authority that's vested in us and that what we say goes, we can start watching our words, because we don't want to just say everything that comes to our mind. We because when you speak, you want it to be that I mean this that I say it. Not that you've just said 50 other things that day that you didn't really mean. And it's easy. I know. I'm in a workplace. I know it's easy to be around people and just say what people in a certain situation expect you to say, or just say it just to, you know, I didn't really mean it, but I said it to be funny. If we don't really mean it and we say something just to say it because we think it'll get a laugh, and then we go to the devil and we're saying, get out, well, do our words. I mean, we still have the authority, but when we say something, do we mean it now? Do we mean it to him? Do we mean get out of here? Well, or are you just joking? See, I mean, it's you can, like, again, you don't get legalistic, but it's an important matter. We ought to be like Jesus. When we say something, we ought to mean it. We don't say something, we don't commit unless that's what we really mean. Anyhow, let's go back over to verse 41. So like we've read before, the leper came. He was wondering, he knew Jesus could, he believed Jesus could, but he was wondering, is he willing? And Jesus touched him. He was moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, I am willing, be cleansed. Now let's turn over to John 14. We read this last week, but let's just touch there before we go on. John 14, verse 7. God's such a good God, so merciful, so just, so true. It's just so good to know him. He loves us beyond measure. His will for us is just so great. So good. Blow us away if we knew everything. Thank God he just reveals it day by day, little by little. As we take steps, he reveals the next steps. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Some people are looking for the last step. You know, they want the step 10 steps down the road or 20 steps down the road. And, you know, that's not the way God works. God tells you what the next step is, and he'll wait your whole life for you to take that next step. He's very patient. Some people, like, try to wait out, outwait God. I'm just going to wait here, and I'll see if maybe, nah, he'll give me the next step. I know I can skip this one. I don't particularly like this step that's in front of me, so I want to skip it. I think I'll just wait. Can I put this card back in the deck and pull another card, please? No, that's not the way God works. He says you have to do this move. If he puts something out in front of us, we're supposed to take that move. And when we take that move and do it, then he'll give us the next move. But there is no, well, I'm going to shuffle the deck, I don't like that, give me another one. We were playing a game, you know, the other week in youth, and it has to do with words, and you have to guess the words. And so some of those things, the kids have no idea what the word means. Well, it doesn't do much good to play the game. They're not going to know how to give clues if they don't know what the word is. So we tell them, you know, you can hit the button and get the next word and just try that one. That works in the game, but doesn't work with God. He says, I want you to do this. You can't say, I don't like that. Hit the button. I want the next one. It doesn't work like that. We have to say, I'll take this one and I'm going to do it. And then he'll give us the next step. Verse 7, John 14. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long? And yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Notice that. It goes along with what we were just saying. Said, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Well, same thing with us. Holy Spirit, I mean, you just read throughout the Word. You mean the Holy Spirit indwells us, but you see Christ in you. And we're in the Father, Father's in Christ. It's all in all. And the Father in me, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Jesus said this. The words that I'm speaking, I'm not speaking on my own authority. As I hear, I speak. That's the way we ought to operate. As we hear, when we speak God's word, he backs them up. So we want to make it the things that are coming out of our mouth are the word of God or agree with the word of God. Period. Ought to be. Everything we say ought to agree with the word of God. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works. Let's go back up to verse 9. Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father? You know, as we touched on last week, when you look at Jesus and what he does, he's our example, and he is the perfect will of the Father illustrated for all men for all time. When we look at him, when we see what he does, we can know the will of the Father. Jesus was and is the will of the Father in action. So when we read something and, you know, wonder, what would Jesus do? Well, we can look. That's why we have the Gospels. And it's not just the Gospels. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God Almighty, inspired this whole book. But particularly the New Testament is written to us as believers. All the Bible's inspired, all the Bible is good, and, you know, like the Bible says that the Old Testament, those things that happened to them were given to us for examples and samples in the King James. But in the New Testament, that's written to the church. That's written to born-again believers. And those are the words coming from heaven just as much. But we can see the will of God, the will of the Father through Jesus and through, of course, the written word, but we can see it in the actions that Jesus took while he was on the earth. And so we just read where the leper needed healing and he came to Jesus, doubted whether he was willing, and Jesus said, no, I'm willing. I'm willing. And God is no respecter of persons. He is no respecter of persons. I want to turn over to John 18 and talk about another account and just bring out some things here. This will focus on some things, so bring some things out. John 18. Verse 1. Thank you, Lord. It's His will for all to be well. It's His will for us to be healed and whole all the time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered, and Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. He's italicized, that's not original. He said, I am. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with him. Now when he said, I am, they drew back and fell to the ground. When he asked them again, whom are you seeking? Then he asked them again, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said, I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, of those whom you gave me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's ear, or servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? Now let's turn over to Why don't you just hold your finger in there in case we want to come back to that account, but go over to Luke 22. Thank you, Lord. It is the will of the Father. It is the will of God for us to be healed always. Luke 22, verse 47. Luke 22, verse 47. And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And we know who that was. It was Peter. From John. Verse 51, but Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple and elders who had come out against him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Now, this man that came, he was the high priest's servant, and they're coming to get Jesus. They're coming to arrest Jesus. This man, if he's heard anything about Jesus, now he could have heard some good things about Jesus, but this is the high priest's servant. So most likely, he has heard negative things about Jesus. These people are coming to kill him. They're coming to take Jesus, and this man is the high priest's servant. And he's standing there, and Peter defends Jesus. Now, he's a fisherman. He's not a soldier. But he takes his sword, and he cut off his ear. But I don't think he was probably aiming for his ear. He was probably trying to take the dude out, right? But he got his ear. So this man, this guy, that Malchus, for all intents and purposes, you could say he's Jesus' enemy. He came to arrest Jesus. These guys are coming with clubs. They're coming to arrest him. He said, come out as a robber with swords and clubs. And in this, uprising here that happened, Peter pulls out his sword, strikes the servant of the high priest, and cuts off his right ear. Now, Jesus, think about this. Just think about this in your mind. Think about the circumstance. What's going on here? What's going on this night? Jesus is going to the cross the next day. He is being betrayed. He knows what's going to happen. If we went back a little bit in verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And then this multitude shows up. So Jesus He was in the garden praying. He was distressed. The Bible says he was in agony. He knows what's coming, and his flesh does not like it. He knows what's going to come, and he's saying, God, Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, take this thing out of my way. Let's do it a different way, but not my will, but yours be done. And these guys come out against him, and they can't take him. They couldn't take him. I mean, they asked him who he was. He said, I am. They all fell down. No, he laid his life down. They could not take him. So these men are coming out to get him. And his disciples, you know, Peter said, Jesus told him, you know, you're going to betray me. And he said, no, I'll die with you if I have to. Well, evidently he meant it. At this point, he was ready to go down. I mean, you know, he's taking his sword out and he's going to attack these people that are armed. Well, you don't do that unless you're ready for something to happen. So he is willing. But think about this circumstance. All of a sudden, Peter comes out, cuts this man's ear off. So what's going on at this point? You know, if somebody is moving, striking somebody, there is motion going on. This guy gets his ear sliced. It says his ear got cut off, not just, you know, nicked it. His ear was cut off. That means his ear is on the ground. That means there's commotion. This guy's probably yelling. And in the midst of this, in the most trying time, probably of Jesus, at least, you know, I mean, it's got to be the most trying time. He had some other things where he went through some stuff, but this has got to be the pinnacle. In the middle of that, he's going to the cross. He knows what's going to happen. There's chaos everywhere. This man, who is his enemy, just dropped his ear. In the middle of that, Jesus either gets his ear off the ground or just puts his hand on there, but it says it healed him. He could have easily saw the ear, put it back on him, or else he just touched the side of his head and he healed him. In Jesus' most trying time, stops and heals his enemy. Now think about this. Think about what this says. There is so much here, but think about this. Because there are many Christians, millions of Christians, there are many Christians that have heard the word of faith, have heard about healing, but they don't believe that God necessarily wants them to be well. They think it might not be His will. Children of God. Let's turn over to a few scriptures and we'll come back here. Just hold your finger in Luke. Let's just go to a few scriptures in Matthew. Go turn to Matthew 4. Just going to read a few of these in succession. Matthew 4. Verse 23. Matthew 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. He went about what? Preaching. He went about teaching in their synagogues, preaching and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Go over to Matthew 9, just a few chapters later, Matthew 9. Verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Every sickness and every disease among the people he healed there. Matthew 10, 1, just a little bit further down. And when he had called his disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And Matthew 12, 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. He healed them all. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Healed their sick. Any sick among them, they were healed. One more in Matthew 15, verse 30. Just another chapter over. It says, then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Over and over, all the people that came to Jesus, they were healed. All the people came. When they came, they were healed. When they came, they were healed. Jesus is the will of the Father. He shows us the will of the Father. Did he ever, he never told one, well, God is teaching you something through this. You're just going to have to wait a little longer. Your time's not quite up. You're learning something. Your character's being built. He never said that. He never said, you know what? It's just not the will of the Father for you to be healed. Sorry. He never said that. They came to him and they were healed. Over and over and over. And we see this. People were healed as they came to Jesus. It surely, if it's ever God's will not to heal somebody, surely Jesus, there would have been at least one unlucky person that came to Jesus and he would have said, I'm sorry, it's just not my will. At least one. Because that's what a lot of people believe. And it's not just that people believe that we have to be careful that somehow something doesn't creep into our hearts that we feel like, I just don't know, man. I don't know if I've done enough. I don't know if I believe enough. I just don't know, you know, if I've been good enough Christian. And we may not say it like that, but there's things in our heart that feels like I've just haven't, don't know if I've quite done what it takes to be healed. But look at this man we were just talking about, Malchus. Turn back over to Luke, where you have your finger there. This man is Jesus' enemy. He's coming to take Jesus away. And yet, in the midst of that, it was Jesus, it was God's will to heal his enemy. Let alone a child of God who's received Jesus, who Jesus died for, whose healing has been purchased by what he did. In the middle of this type of a situation, he healed his enemy. Does he will to heal all? We just read it over and over. Well, he healed these people over everybody that came to him. He healed them all. He healed them all. And then this guy didn't even come to Jesus. I mean, this guy didn't come. He wasn't believing. It wasn't faith. It was an act of the Holy Spirit. But it shows the will of the Father that he was healed. If there's ever a question on the inside, This ought to settle it. If Jesus will heal his enemies, I mean, some people believe that here it is, Jesus was healing his enemy, but they don't believe that he'll even heal his own children. That he'll, it's his will for them to stay in a condition because of whatever reason. And you know what? We'll put up with certain things, put up with stupid things, when all the while, God healed this man who was coming to kill him. And yet sometimes in our life, we'll put up with stuff and think I'm just not sure if it's my time. No, it's his time now, tonight, now, not tomorrow, not off. His will all the time for all people is perfect wellness and wholeness all the time. All the time. He is such a good God, and he has provided healing and wholeness for us all the time. Let's turn over to Romans. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 31. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he gave his only son, how will he withhold? He won't. If he wouldn't withhold from this man in the garden who was coming to kill him and yet reached out and healed this man. From somebody that was trying to kill him. How much more? We who are children, we're in the family of God. He's not withholding anything from us. His will is for us to be completely whole and perfect. All the time. All the time. Let your heart just grab that. Let your heart just grab that tonight, because it is so subtle. The enemy will try to push us off. And try to start make us think, well, you know, you did this or you did that. This man, I mean, regardless of what you did, you didn't attack Jesus. You're not coming out to kill him. And the Satan will try to tell you, well, yeah, you know, yeah, but you've done this and that. No, it's just a lie. Jesus wills for us to be well. That shows how much his compassion to stop in the middle of this. I mean, he had every right to be preoccupied. Serves you right. You came out against me. But no, he stopped. The compassion and the caring. He knows. If something is been, you know, come against us, attacking our bodies. He knows the feeling of our infirmities, and he knows in his will is for us to be just healthy and whole all the time. Thank you, Lord. He is so good, so willing. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's close with this in 3 John 2. We'll read this scripture. 3 John 2, verse trusted, beloved, I pray, or I desire, King James says, that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. You know, that's a, people say, well, that's just a greeting, that's just an introduction. Well, it is, but it's written by John, and he's expressing his desire for his friend. I just wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Well, how much more God, who is love, who gave his only begotten son, how much more? How much more? He just wishes above all things, or in all things, that we would prosper, that we would be in health. That's his desire, is for us to be in health, for things to go well with us, for us to have a good time in this life, anything. He doesn't want us to put up with stuff. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just take a minute and just meditate on that.